continuing on avoiding stumbling and falling. Avoiding stumbling and falling. And see, once again, it takes the Bible to show us that this can be avoided. You know, when we especially went through, and we kind of clearly went through 2 Peter 3 and through that entire thing where it showed us all the things we need to do. And he says, if you do these things, you will never fall. Okay, so it really shows us the ability to do things. And you'll still hear Christians go, well, I'm only human. Well, I can't help it. Well, and we say these things, once again, ignorantly, emotionally, but not godly. Do you understand? You understand that we conveniently use God when it's convenient, but we don't use God all the time. To kind of quick review, we saw the process of stumbling and falling. We've seen how sin is evolved. We've seen you're dragged away and enticed. Remember, that's the part where it's already in your heart and you're allowing things to happen to get you there. Sin is birth, but even at that time, you can repent and come out of it and read. But when sin is now a part of, it becomes death. Everyone stumbles, is what the Bible says. It lets us know everyone stumbles. This is why we have to have Christ in our lives. The world's purpose is a sin magnet. I was reading a book not too long ago. Me and Cicely still know where it came from. But but in the book, the one thing the person is trying to blame is everything on Satan using deception. Now, that part is true about Satan using deception, but I think sometimes the tone of the book was more on this world was so wholesome, the people were so wholesome until Satan. But the more you read the Bible is saying, no. If we were as wholesome, Satan wouldn't have been able to. Does that make sense? And what he's showing us is the only thing that makes us wholesome is God. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? The only thing that makes us righteous is God. Even when he made us perfect and he made humans perfect, the human had to still have God to stay perfect. And that's the whole thing it's showing. So the world became corrupted by man, not by Satan and all this other stuff. So the world's purpose is to make us fall. And that's what Satan uses as his playing ground, if you will. Christian living is dangerous for us to cause others to sin, we've seen. A Christian who tries to be justified by anything other than faith in Jesus is falling from grace. Okay, another thing Satan will try to do is have you try to be righteous on your own. There's a lot of people who are trying to be good people, and they're really trying hard, and they're going to be in hell. It breaks your heart when you see they're sincere about really trying to be good, when he's saying, but I already gave you the path to good. Do y'all see this? And you're ignoring it. You know what I mean? You're going, doing all this stuff that you want to be good, and I already gave you the answer, and you're choosing not to. And this is what's hurting us. Our stumbling and falling is because of us. Satan just helps out because he stumbled and fell and he's already headed. And he's like, I'm taking as many as I can with me. You understand that? And so he just encourages us for us. Think about that. Remember, if my desires didn't get in the way, there's nothing he can do to me. That's why he was saying to Peter, he wanted to sift you like wheat. So I pray for what? Your faith. Wait a minute, he didn't say, I pray that God puts an angel around you and stops. I pray that you're around some blocker. I pray. He didn't give all this stuff that we say. You know, I pray that you speak to him and tell him to get behind. No, he said, I pray that your faith. Because as long as I stay in God, my desires, y'all see how that works? Satan can do nothing to me as long as I stay in faith. Think about it. Eve's faith would have been, I really want that tree, but he said no. That's faith. I even see that fruit is good for eating and gaining knowledge, but he said no. That's faith. Y'all see this? You see how that works? So, but we tend to do exactly what Eve did. But the tree is good for eating and gaining knowledge. So I took some. And God didn't go, oh, I feel so sorry for y'all. Y'all see this? From the beginning. And that was something that we must understand. We fall because of us. We see the love of money becomes a big part in that. And we see the ingredients to not falling. We got to see that whole 2 Peter 3 where it broke down all the things which you add to your faith, knowledge, and that to your knowledge, and so on and so forth. And it had to be in that order. It has to be in increasing measures. And the thing I love about it is increasing measure means it's more every day. Right? You know, you may say add a cup of flour. What if I said, no, add an increasing measure? That means you have to keep adding it and more. And more. So all those things you read in 2 Peter 3, and you know, where 2 Peter 1, and I think it starts in verse 3, where it puts all that out there, it's letting me know I have to do all that stuff, and then I got to do it more the next day. And I got to do, and all this is relationship with Christ. Some of us will get to a point we stop thinking I'm there. That means my ingredients are bad. I didn't add enough. Do y'all get this? How much are you supposed to add? Increasing measure. I should be more mature every single day of my life. Every single day. Not, well, at least I'm better than I was. I think a lot of us want that. Well, they should be happy I'm not doing what I used to. I think we all want credit for what we're not. Okay? Thank God for where you're not, but keep straining forward for the goal. Remember, the race, the person who's running the race doesn't start the race and go, man, I didn't think I'd make it off the blocks and stop there. I'm going to go celebrate. No, he has to keep running until he crosses the line. And that's the thing he's trying to show us. All right? And we understand that Christianity is not just something you say. It's a lifestyle. If a person is a Christian, it will be displayed, not just said. So we understand all that. So where we last left off, is where? Huh? Okay. All right. Okay, in Hebrews 10. Okay. Yeah, mine's a little different, so. Gotcha. I'm just finding it on my tablet here. Blah, blah, blah. Is it under? Got it. Okay. So we have to live an alert life in order not to fall, correct? Okay. So one thing we tend to do, and if you listen to some people's prayers and going different than what we read, heard about in question and answer, people usually pray, God, please don't let me fall. You understand that? Or, God, please protect me from Satan. Okay? Well, if you heard Jesus' prayer, I pray that your faith, you know, will not fail. So, God, once again, since he gave us everything, a lot of times we ask for things that we already have. How many of you have prayed for patience on something? You understand that? Well, we know the fruit of the Spirit is patience. So you have full access to patience. So what you want to pray is that I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. Do you see the difference there? Not give me patience. He's like, why are you asking for something you already have? Do you understand that? You have, not only do you have it, you have it in abundance. So use it. But you're praying for it as if you don't have it. So in the same way, this word shows us how we truly walk by faith instead of going by what we think God should give. So look at 2 Peter 3, 17 through 18. It says, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard. Do you understand? So he said the stuff that was going to happen, and he's like, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. He's saying, please know what you're being taught. Please know what you're being told. Please know what you're feeling. Please know what you're going through. All of this stuff. You know, and why do I use those main ones? Because those are the main avenues they come in. It'll come in through our intellect. It'll come in through our emotions. Come in through our ignorance. And it comes through our culture. In which somebody will say something, hit one of those nerves. If I'm not spiritual, you'll kind of, you know, how many, I think we all have done that. It hit us and we'll, wow, I really enjoyed, or I really liked, or I really, and then we start following it. And he was like, wait, were you on your guard? On your guard means, so did God really say that? You see what I'm saying? Spiritual is, did God really say that? Let me read this scripture and make sure I read everything with it. And you're going to be in there. He says, why? So you won't be carried away by the error of lawless men. See, a lawless man is a person who's getting up here preaching and it becomes about their ministry. That's why I'm very careful not to call it Keith Smith ministry, because then it becomes about Keith Smith and Keith ministry. And then that ends up becoming about Keith Smith. And then you'll hear me get up here trying to tell you what Keith Smith thinks. And then I'll think God gave me a certain entitlement to get up here and tell you stuff, and you better listen to me because I'm Keith Smith. And you see how we can get caught up into that? Instead of recognizing, I am just a servant. You know, you hear those get up there and talk as men of authority, but it took other people to say Jesus talked of authority. But when you heard Jesus, he always said, I'm a servant. Right? I just do exactly what my Father tells me, is what he's saying. And he put that out there. It goes on to verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So in other words, my job is just to grow into my relationship with him, and that's so it's going to be displayed in my life, not me thinking, okay, I reached a point, now I'll take it from here. Understand this, Christians, there'll never be I'll take it from here. Do y'all get that? All right. Once you get that, you'll always be that student, forever learning while working. Okay? You'll do the job while you're learning. So you're always, can I do this next guy? Can I? It'll always be in that step. Not, okay, I'm there. Now I'm the teacher. You know what I mean? Now, I don't need any more teaching. You'll always be in that student mode with Christ. We will have to make some very tough life decisions in order to stay out of danger. It says in Matthew 5, 29 through 30, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Now, once again, some go, well, this is a metaphor. But if it's a metaphor, look how he continues on with it. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. Now, what he's saying here, and I'm going to tell people start cutting things off, and you have some countries that do that, but he's saying if it got to that extreme and you had to choose, that would be, oh, this is gone. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? Some of the things we preserve temporarily can be our demise eternally. Think about that. That person, that desire, that thing, that body part, that job, that thing that makes you feel good, whatever that something is that you're clinging on to thinking, well, God has to understand, okay, instead of, I got to cut it off. Does that make sense? I got to let go of this, you know, in which they go. There was a person, like I said, we were at school, and she hung, the girls she hung around, and they were real well-known bunch, really nice set of people. But they really wanted nothing to do with God. They, quote unquote, respected her life of being a Christian. But that respect only came when it didn't get in the way of what they wanted to do. So when they wanted to do something, she was like, no, I already planned to do this at church. Or I planned, oh, come on. And one day, you know, I'm seeing her and her answer is, I don't hang with them anymore. And you could tell she was hurt by it. But it was a decision of I had to. I had no choice. And it wasn't a desirable choice. And it wasn't one that fleshly turned out in a way where, oh, this is great. Do you understand? But it was one of those in which she knew they're pulling me away from what I'm supposed to do from eternity. Does that make sense? Okay? So when we read this, we need to all check our lives because we, like I said, what Satan does is, no, that's your hand. That's your eye. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't worry. God understands. And that's why today we're in the world that we make excuses instead of understanding. Right? Oh, it's because my child has this disease. Oh, it's because they have that. That's their excuse. Well, God is saying there's going to be no excuses. So find those answers and then work from that answer to get where you're supposed to be. Because you still need to be where you're supposed to be. Does that make sense? Everybody understand? So we have that responsibility and we have the power to do it. And trying to help one another, make sure you're not the reason somebody stumbles. This is what the question that was being asked on the right prayer and stuff like that. And that was a great question to ask because we make this mistake of not helping the right people. Romans 14, verse 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Now, we are to judge, which means to assess, but I'm not to pass judgment. What is the difference? Okay, passing judgment is I already tell you you're going to hell. I already tell you you're a bad person. I already tell you. I'm telling you everything about. In other words, all I'm trying to do is condemn you. Right? Passing judgment. I have no right to do that on everybody. Somebody says, isn't Sochef going to hell? If I go, oh, yeah, he's going. No, I have no right to do that. I can say, the Bible says this, this, and this. And if they stay in this, I know what the Bible says. And leave it at that. But my job then is not to be the cause of it. That's why he goes on to say, instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Now, why do you say make up your mind? Because it may mean something that's as normal that you may do, you have to stop doing. Remember? Think about that. Not you, what you think is a stumbling block. Maybe how you talk to them. That you talk to them. What you do around them. How you dress. Anything. What is it that you're doing? When I make up my mind, I'm not going to check myself and God to make sure I'm not part of the problem. Now, in no way am I giving people excuses for sinning. He's just, God's just saying, they're going to get punished. But man, woe to you if you played a part in it. Do y'all get this? Well, he's not going to say, well, you know, they are responsible just for them. They will get their punishment. But if I played a part, that's huge. Everybody get that? Okay. So when I make up my mind, I watch how I am around everybody at all times. When you hear people go, I don't care about them. And I don't ever see them, and we get attitudes around them, and I don't care if it's about me and stuff like that. Understand, you got to answer to God. That's why he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So I'll go out of my way sometimes to allow, no, it's fine. You can have that. Inside, I'm like, oh, why would they? You understand that? And I'm going to still struggle with that, but I better not allow that feeling to get in the way and to cause them to stumble. Does that make sense? Everybody get this? So we understand also that other salvation must come before our freedoms. Watch what it says in this powerful one. He says in 1 Corinthians 8:9-13, it says, "Be careful, however, that the exercise of your freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak." So this is a very important one, especially in our country, because in our country we are allowed to do so much. Almost to the extent we almost do it proudly with it, but I'm allowed to. Okay? And we flaunt it with "I'm allowed to," almost with a understanding of, too bad you don't know what I know. Remember it says, because knowledge puffs up, but true love builds up. Because knowledge make me go, wait, I'm wondering if what I'm doing is causing, you get where I'm coming from? I'm wondering if, and that's why he goes on to say here. He says, "For if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols?" Now, some may say, there's no problem with idols. But if I do anything with the wrong purpose, I sin. So here's the difference. Me as a Christian knowing, I was wanting something to eat, I went to the restaurant called The Idol, and they made good food. All I wanted was good food. I'm going to go eat good food. Had nothing to do with it. No demons are going to go into my food. None of that stuff. And I don't believe in it. That's why I always tell y'all, be careful with some of the junk you hear when people make up. Don't bring that vase in your house. It's going to bring demons. Don't bring that picture in your house. Don't follow that nonsense when you don't find it in the Bible. That's what this is showing. When we start dabbling in that nonsense that I call, then you're now demon worshiping, because you're dealing with demons the way demons say worship. Deal with demons. Does that make sense? Okay. But he's saying, so since we understand me going in there has nothing to do with it, and I'm not dabbling in it, I understand there are some weak people that might see me doing it and still get it wrong. Oh, Keith went into the idol restaurant, and he's getting power from the idol, so I'm going to get power from the idol. He's saying, so this weak brother from whom Christ died is destroyed. That's powerful. By your knowledge. You were just going to get something to eat. They thought, he's getting power from the idol, I'm going to get power from the idol. Pastor Keith drinks, I'm going to drink. And I'm going to get drunk because Pastor Keith does it. Right? Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Freedom. We take something and we know that if it's misunderstood, it'll cause somebody to fall. Even though it within itself is not wrong, this is how it becomes wrong. He says, when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. What he's saying is, as Christians, we are to walk through the world as on eggshells, to make sure what I'm doing is not causing. Now, I got to be very careful. Now, don't mix that up with what pleases somebody. Some people will not do it because somebody said they don't like you doing it. That's not what this means. This means a weak brother taking it as a license now because they're seeing you do it. Because you have some people who go, I don't like it when you wear that jacket. You understand? There was a group. Once again, same school, Christians. I went, and you remember when the two-tone jeans came out, and I wore a pair of two-tones, and then I got an intervention. I'm telling you. I walked in that dorm room, and I remember I'm sitting there looking around, and in my mind, I'm like, did I miss something? And I'm like, seriously? No, it's just very worldly. We're just scared for you, Keith, and this and that. And I'm just like, oh, man. You know what I mean? And it was, and my whole thing, and I remember it was one of the first times I went, so where in the Bible does it say? And they couldn't give me an answer. They were giving me their interpretation, and they were just, you know, and it was like, wow. And I left out of there just kind of defeated with it. And it wasn't causing anybody to stumble. It was one of those in which they just didn't like it. Does that make sense? You understand it? So if somebody else wore jeans that were two-toned, there's no sin in there because there's no worship. Do you understand? If I was doing anything that caused them to do something because they didn't understand it, like we're drinking would come in or things like that. Does that make sense? So keep all that in mind. But this is where we have to watch it. So when I do something that can cause somebody to sin, he says, when you sin against your brother in this way and wound their conscience, you sin against Christ. And that's the key. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. Okay, so he's basing it on, I will stop anything if I know it's going to cause you to sin. Not because you don't like it. There's a difference on that. All right, because we're not supposed to serve you in that way to try to serve you. In fact, he says, if I do that, then I'm not being a Christian. I'm supposed to serve God. You remember that verse? Just so y'all know the difference on the two. Amen? Okay. So also we see we must make sure, even when we mean well, not to cause someone to stumble. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3 says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Here's the deal. I probably need to do a sermon on stumbling blocks, because if I asked you what a stumbling block is, we'll probably get the basics. Do y'all remember how we started off this sermon on spiritual warfare? And I said the stuff that we know that we usually call warfare are when it's undesirable people, undesirable situations, undesirable. The part that we don't realize that are some of the worst stumbling blocks or some of the worst attacks are desirable people, desirable situations. So I can be doing something that's really good. Do you understand that? And that can be the main stumbling block to you. I told you the one woman who was a Christian, nicest person, loved the Lord, did everything she was supposed to, had a friend that wasn't. And she was such a good friend to her, based on the world, to where when that friend died, she said, I loved her to death. I mean, she couldn't stop crying of, I didn't minister to her. I showed her human love. I was always there for her. I always provided for her. I never gave her Christ. I didn't even display Christ. My intent was not that. It was, this is my friend since we were a child. And that was the whole, her friendship meant much more than ministering. How many things are we doing for somebody that we think is a good thing, while all the more we're destroying them? You got that? You know what I mean? You have some parents that'll hold on or let their kids, well, until they find themselves. And they're not going to find themselves. They're going to find themselves somewhere you wish they weren't. Do you understand that? And that's why sometimes you go, you got to go. Sometimes you got to go, all right, you have to do this. I told my son, he was getting classes, full college classes. And then after he get in, he'd drop half. And I said to Lisa, when is he leaving? I was like, you know, and then he said, I want to get a refrigerator in my room, and I want to get, I said, okay, this is where it has to end. And I went to him, I said, okay, starting next month, your rent's going to be $999. And he laughed. I said, no, I'm serious. And I said, and that's just the rent. And you got to pay for food, and you got to pay for, and he went down. He's kind of looking at me, and all of a sudden, as time went on, he had to figure, I got to get out of here. And then life had to start. Do you understand that? Now, think about it. It hurts you, but why did I have to do something drastic? But it's the thing that made him especially worldly responsible, but I needed to do more to get him spiritually responsible. But how many of that are we doing to people that we're doing good stuff and it's really stumbling them? Think about that. And that's something for everybody to think about. You know what I mean? You think you're helping somebody, well, all the more you're really killing them. And it happens more, and especially with Christians, especially when we're not the fear and trembling. Do you understand that? I did something. Why did you do that? Well, I thought it was right. I didn't ask you what you thought. Why did you do it? The answer should be, well, because God said. Right? And that'll clear it up. Well, the Bible says, and that's why I'm doing this. Not what I thought. Amen. I got a yep. Amen. That's good. I'll take a yep. All right. And then it shows our life purpose must be to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 through 33 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do. Why do I read this over and over and over again? Because this covers life right here. This gives us life purpose. It's saying everything you do. And I love it when he starts off with, like I said, two basic things. Eating or drinking. You know what I mean? And we were just talking about that. And I was talking to a brother there about that with food and all that. And like I said, how many of us have missed that? Like I said, we'll give thanks in one breath and then we throw away the food. You know what I mean? Well, I can't eat this. And we waste so much. But we just gave thanks for that. So were we just playing games with God? When I glorify God, I say, thank you. I'm going to eat it. I may go, I don't really care for this, and I don't think I'm ordering this again, but I'm going to finish it because I thanked him because I'm getting fed. Plus, I know others aren't going to be eating. You got where I'm coming from? You'll work at your job, not always going, I don't like this job. It'll be, thank you, God, that I have a job and the ability to do a job. And, man, I'm going to work my butt off, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to smile like Joseph did in jail. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? I'm going to glorify him. Not, you know, and there's nothing wrong in there with going, God, I don't like it here. There's nothing wrong with it. What do you say? Do not anxious about anything, but in everything present your request through prayer, petition, and thanks. So I'm still going to give it to him. But while I'm there, man, you're going to get 100%. You know what I mean? I'm going to glorify him. And this is what this means. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Not for your happiness, not for your comfort, not for your want-tos, for his glory. Right? So somebody will see me doing it, and they'll go, man, this is a miserable place. Why are you so happy? You understand that? How come you're never complaining? How come you're not always, you know what I mean? I know you're going through a struggle. I still remember the person. She had so many ailments and stuff like that, but she was always so happy, and she'd make it there, and you see her get on the bus, and she was just making it, and she was so pleasant, and she had every, I think, you know, arthritis and all that, but man, praise God. It always just made us go. You know, we'd feel stupid because we didn't want to wake up that morning. You understand that? And she just, man, just coming in there praising the Lord and all this other stuff. And it wasn't over the top. It was just a very pleasant, I glorify God. Amen? Y'all see this? He says in verse 32, and continuing, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew, Greeks, or of the church of God, even as I please everyone in every way. And don't get that one confused, because another verse tells us what that means. The pleasing is in the Lord, but it's understandable. It comes off that verse. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Now, understanding the good is, once again, not based on them, because only God is good. Okay? And it's the only way you notice through that other verse where it says, if I try to please man, then I am not a Christian. So keep that in mind. And y'all can look that one up. But so what he's saying is, I don't live for my pleasure. I live for their good. That means I live for the God in them. Does that make sense? So I deny me in order to minister to you. So why might have God put me in an uncomfortable spot? It might not even be for my spiritual growth. It may have been to minister to all these other people in this uncomfortable spot. It might have been for my family in this uncomfortable spot. Do you understand? And it's for me to save them. So I live, and he may go, no, you were cool in this spot, but that's why I put you here, Keith. So you can minister to them. We don't know how many people Joseph might have ministered to while he was in jail. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? Remember, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys ministered in more ways. They ministered even to the king just by living for God. Amen? So the key is we live not to allow others to stumble. So we're going to stop there, and then we'll finish up, God willing, next week. Any questions? Amen? Let us